Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
It's an interesting dynamic, though, with Gerard here, because a lot of us are trying to figure out exactly, again, it's the same old story when it comes to Patriots. We don't really know necessarily what the roles are for people on staff. You know, he's a middle linebackers coach, is on paper, is what his title is, but does he call the plays? Does he actually run the defensive meetings after practice? Is he a pseudo defensive coordinator? Is he strictly just a middle linebackers coach? What are his responsibilities? And so, you know, those are the kind of the questions when it comes to this, and no one really knows.
All right, that was Ted Johnson on our show yesterday. Of course, Ted, our former colleague here at Sports Radio 610, played linebacker for Bill Belichick up in New England, three-time Super Bowl champ. We all know Teddy. And he's talking about Gerard Mayo there. Gerard Mayo, presumably a candidate for what could be an open Texans head coaching job if they move on from David Culley, and a candidate who you are getting increasingly excited about as the show goes on today.
So. I with about 18 asterisks on that, too. But I'm getting excited, if only as an alternative to Josh McDaniels, because as Teddy was talking about there, for one, there's a chance that maybe Gerard Mayo is heavily involved in defensive play calling. This was the question about Brian Flores forever in New England. Basically, a guy will end up being the coordinator for a year or two before they actually name him the coordinator. And so with Brian Flores, he had kind of been the defensive coordinator, sort of, before they named him. But if he had been hired as a head coach before he was ever actually officially named the coordinator, he still would have had some managerial experience or some play-calling experience, I suppose, to have some exposure to that side of it. I would prefer that if they hire Gerard Mayo, that he'll at least have had some of that. Because, like as David Culley mentioned the other day in his exiting press conference, there's a whole big difference between offering suggestions and actually making the decision.
Yeah.
Like, actually, that's the value in having some experience as a coordinator, is that you want a guy that's had to have his ass on the line making the decision, and that it's his ass getting chewed out when it doesn't work out. So that's what I would hope for Gerard Mayo. But other than that, it seems like there are just so many things said about Gerard Mayo that sound so similar to Mike Vrabel that I'm willing to buy into it a little bit, just because of the example of Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, here's Ted on the types of personalities that Belichick brings in for coaches and players and how they differ.
A lot of these guys that Bill hires are young kids out of these Ivy League schools. They're high intelligent guys. They have backgrounds that aren't necessarily in football. They're in economics. They're in, you know, physics. They're in the most kind of different thing. You know, Matt Patricia is one of those guys. I mean, these are brainiacs that he brings in. And so it's a different type of profile of coach when you're talking about those types of coaches that Bill brings in versus his former players that go on to be coaching. I think that's maybe the difference.
All right, yeah, and let's throw Bill O'Brien in there. Went to Brown. You know, I was looking at some other New England guys, Seth, that maybe we're not paying attention to right now. The Patrick Graham, who was the DC with the Giants. Yeah. He was in New England for 8 years. Played at Yale.
Matt Patricia went to RPI.
Which
is one of the toughest engineering schools to get into.
Yeah.
It's like an MIT light.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. Or small school guys. Like Belichick's definitely got a type. He likes guys that I think he probably perceives as kind of scrappy. Like they just wanted to play football wherever they could, so they had to go to a smaller school, but they just love the game. But all those things, like, he kind of looks for a certain type of coach. And what I was getting from Ted was that he doesn't really necessarily value a whole lot of, like, they don't need to be old school, like, coaching personality types. He just wants these guys that are super smart that he can kind of bend and mold. Pay them super cheap. Ted made that point. Kind of treat them like dirt for a while. And then all of a sudden these guys find themselves, you know, as head coaches, and they haven't developed all the other stuff, or they just don't have those same interpersonal skills, where with the linebackers is a little bit different.
Yeah. Here's one more from Ted yesterday. Sort of a follow-up on Belichick and the type of coaching candidates he looks
like. Well, okay, yeah.
He very much covets intellectual guys, guys that are that are smart, but a lot of them don't have football backgrounds when he brings them in, and he gets them cheap, and he can mold them, and they're not going to push back, and they're going to do whatever he says. And that's the kind of guy that Bill likes to bring into his system, and then he makes them work for nothing for years. And then, you know, eventually they work their way up, and then they get, you know, head coaching jobs.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I had paraphrased. I gave you the wrong clip. Yeah. The thing that Ted said that was really interesting was kind of he juxtaposed that against the type of guys like Vrabel or Mayo who are kind of alpha dogs and in a room full of alpha dogs, and that there's just something different about them. And a lot of times – I'm skeptical of it when people start talking about leadership qualities or leader of men or stuff like that, because more times than not, it seems just to be that, okay, it happened to be that a guy was like a good linebacker on a really good defense, like a Manti Te'o type or something like that. And it wasn't actually, he wasn't necessarily all that great of a leader. I think with Belichick, just as he likes a certain type of assistant coach, maybe he likes a certain type of linebacker and is really good at identifying those types of guys. Think of Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi is a lot like that. Ted Johnson, in a lot of ways, like that too. Like, he's just kind of like a man's man type of guy. It's the only way I can put it. Like, with a lot of those guys, I think Belichick's got a skill for identifying the personality traits of some of those guys better in players than he does in coaches. And it makes me feel like, all right, look, Josh McDaniels in Denver was widely viewed as an absolute disaster when it came to all the interpersonal sides of running an NFL football team. I know people will say, yeah, but he's changed. He's learned. He's different now. Man, some of that stuff is just innate, you know? It's as innate as being able to run fast. Like, I can go do sprinting drills every day for 10 years, and it's not going to turn me into somebody that can run a 4.3 40. So I don't know just how much Josh McDaniels might be different. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. With Jerod Mayo, at the very least, if people really do respect him as a football mind, then I'm on board with him, because they just gush about how good of a leader he is, how he can talk to the front office as well as he can talk to rookies and all of that. I feel like that's a more desirable alternative to Josh McDaniels.
It really is weird, man, when you juxtapose the linebackers that have played for Belichick to the assistant coaches, like the non-player coaches, the assistant coaches, and their social styles. Like, how well Jerod Mayo reportedly, Vrabel for sure, Ted.
Yeah.
How well Teddy Bruschi as well, how well they connect to people, and just how, like, McDaniels, Matt Patricia. I think O'Brien connects. O'Brien can be very charming when you sit down with him in a social setting. Like, his blow-ups are legendary. You know, his temper tantrums are legendary. But he's probably got better social skills than most of these other. You know, Matt Patricia, it seems like a total dud. McDaniels, you know, who knows? Joe Judge just seems like a bit of an odd bird. It's a good point.
Vrabel's got a very harsh side to him. But he also, like, he's got that emotional intelligence and being able to balance it out with humor, you know, and kind of he can get away with saying some things because guys, he just knows how to balance it out better. And it's a certain thing that other guys just don't have.
Yeah.
I think it should be abundantly clear by now to NFL owners that Belichick hires guys who check off a lot of boxes for what you would want in a head coach, but they've got a few really big red flags. Like, he almost, I think his system thrives better almost with assistant coaches who specifically are not good head coaches.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, he needs guys that are like the engineering IT types, and they work well in a certain capacity. And he's really good at identifying those guys, but it's not what makes for good head coaches. Whereas, like, a guy like Parcells, just had a certain type of assistant coach that worked really well for him. And that personality type also happened to be guys that seemingly would go on to be great head coaches.
They would.
Doesn't mean they were any smarter than Matt Patricia or Josh McDaniels or anybody else, but Sean Payton and Tom Coughlin and Bill Belichick, like, all these guys would go on to be extremely successful head coaches.
Here was Ted Johnson yesterday on one other candidate that's rumored to be on the radar for the Texans, former Miami defensive coordinator and former Belichick, or no, former Miami head coach, former Patriot defensive coordinator Brian Flores.
You know what? Everybody that's ever played for him, they love the guy. And so it's, I mean, he's very well respected up here, very well respected as far as just media people and people that covered the team for a long time and the players. So nothing but good things I've ever heard from Brian Flores. And again, I think one of those, a guy that really was just kind of his own man that was able to stand up to Bill. People like this the defense better when he was here.
But that's what I worry about. Like, that's where I would take what Ted was saying there with a grain of salt. It's that I think there are guys, whether it's Jack Easterby or Bill O'Brien or Brian Flores, that I think they operate really well in that environment, and they're kind of, they're suited for that environment, but it just is different than going out and doing it on your own. And that's what I worry about. Like, so, and I would include Jerod Mayo in that, you know, like the gushing of praise, it's all been with Jerod Mayo as well. It's only been in that environment. It's in New England. You know, Vrabel at least went off and coached at Ohio State, coached in Houston. He'd been out and seen the world a little bit, whereas Jerod Mayo hasn't had that same level of experience.
Well, and add to that the pressure of being the guy who's accountable for everything. But Jerod Mayo's responsible for the linebackers right now. You know,
and maybe more. And maybe more.
And maybe like, more. He's not in the big chair, is my point.
Him and Steven, the Belichick clone there, might be like co-defensive coordinators.
He's a candidate. Let's bring in the mullet. Yeah. We got Belichick. No, not that Belichick. The other one. Yeah.
Had Steven run into some trouble earlier in life?
I don't remember.
I think he might have had a little, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's hard to keep up sometimes with all the various NFL coaches.
So yep.
Some of it. I'm not picking on the coaches or their families or anything. It's just they've all, they're kids. Kids mess up. So.
Kids mess up. Dad's on the road a lot. Dad's not at home a lot. Yeah. The one trait that will make Davis Mills an NFL success, his former college coach weighs in, tells us, told In the Loop yesterday exactly what it is. You'll hear it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Darren Revelle joins us at the bottom of the hour for his weekly visit. Here was David Shaw Stanford head coach in town yesterday for the Bear Bryant Award, and he had a conversation with Landry Locker and John Lopez yesterday. And what is the one characteristics that differentiates Davis Mills?
When I first started coaching, Bill Walsh was my coach, and then he was doing his own thing, and then he was with the 49ers, et cetera. But my first 4 or 5 years in coaching, I would always come back, and we would meet in the offseason. And one day he said, hey, what do you think the most important traits for a quarterback are, right? So, of course, I think this is an easy one. Accuracy and all this stuff, footwork, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, all that stuff is good. And he said, you know what the real number one is? I said, what? He said, instincts. He said, that trumps everything. And it's not measurable, but you know it when you see it. So when you combine instincts with the athleticism, arm strength, toughness, intelligence, competitiveness, etc., then you've got a really, really good one. And that's what I saw from the very beginning with Davis Mills.
I think you put it best earlier in the show, Seth, where you said there's a difference between intelligence and judgment. And yeah. I feel like instincts is just in what the way that David Shaw was laying that out. I feel like instincts is a synonym for what you would say is judgment with Davis.
Maybe a little bit. I think
a little bit of overlap. Maybe
judgment's a bit like part of instincts. Those things that are they're not definable by the boxes that you would check off. Like quarterback accuracy, you can measure that with a computer. Time to release, all that stuff, you can measure a lot of that stuff. I think, and someday I'm sure you could quantify instincts with a computer, but like not right this moment. And that's the hard part, is that just because a guy's got a high Wonderlic score doesn't mean that he's a smart quarterback. And most of the guys, I think Tom Brady and Peyton Manning both had Wonderlic scores of 33, which I think is above average, but not by much. It's not like genius level. But I think those are probably the two people, most people would think that those were the two smartest quarterbacks of the past couple decades. And, okay, a lot of that just boils down to instinct and judgment and doing, as Tom Brady has said, it's not as much about the things you do as about the mistakes you don't make. That's what really separates a lot of good quarterbacks from great quarterbacks. So you have to ask yourself, all right, did we see evidence of that with Davis Mills this year? I think we did, particularly if you look at the difference between his first stretch as a starter and his last stretch as a starter. And the one incident that I keep thinking of, Sean, was, I can't remember, it was 2 or 3 games ago. You talked about it with Davis Mills in the post-game show. He took a sack with 2 minutes left. Took a sack that he shouldn't have taken. They would have been in clock preservation mode. And I'm trying to think of it. Damn it, I can't. Somebody text in. But he talked about it with you guys about how like he immediately realized that he had messed up. And I went back and watched. And they're like, oh yeah, you could actually see like there was an urgency there where he was where he had screwed up. Or maybe it was that he ran out of bounds. That's right. That's right. What situation was it?
It was towards the end of the half, and it left time on the clock for Seattle Seattle to go get a touchdown.
Yeah. So it was the exact opposite of what I said. He actually ran out of bounds when they wanted clock to expire.
To run, yes.
Yeah. Yes, that's a mistake, and it's a mistake that sure a lot of rookies make, a lot of veterans will still make from time to time, but I think it was. It was actually like a certain awareness of what he's doing and what he needs to fix that's beyond the grasp of a lot of rookies when they've got 1,800 things rolling through their mind. And what I expect out of Davis Mills is that I think he took that to heart and corrected that in his mind immediately. And I saw mistakes that he was making in the first part of the season corrected in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
He showed a certain mental growth in the first year that a lot of quarterbacks don't show. They kind of get stuck. They learn about it in the off season. Their second year, they come back and they try to fix it. I think Davis Mills is a little further ahead of the schedule in some of those things.
There still seems to be a debate. There's definitely a debate on whether or not Davis Mills two things. Should he be the starting quarterback in week one for this team in 2022? We got to see what they do in the offseason before we know that for sure. But number two, should he be the starting quarterback? Or number two, Seth, should they bring in competition? Should he have to compete for the job? Should they in some way build around Davis Mills in 2022? And I don't know. Like I feel like right now he's being, I don't know if penalized is the right word, but he's being definitely labeled by where he was drafted. If a first round pick had the year that Davis Mills had, we wouldn't be talking about what veterans should they bring in to compete with him in training camp. Like if he were drafted where Mac Jones was drafted and he had the season that he had, he would be the starting quarterback. Like the only reason there's a debate is because he was drafted in the third round. And I don't know, you tell me, like every stat that I see, like I see all these stats, and I know you can cherry pick stats to create whatever narrative it is you want to, but they fill a lot of categories. Red zone, throwing the ball downfield, individual games that he's had that have been really good. And anytime they bring up those stats, there seem to be a lot of really prominent names in those tweets. Like first rookie since so-and-so to do this. Yeah. You know, like, and even within this season, he's in the top five in the red zone and downfield passing, and the guys that are in the top five with him are all guys who are making $40 million a year.
Right. I guess the cautionary part of that is when you start to look at the stats side of it is that you can say the same thing about Nick Foles. You could say the same thing about Gardner Minshew. Like, those guys put up something like alarmingly impressive stats in terms of what other rookies had accomplished or which other quarterbacks had done that as rookies. That was, remember, it was Foles. It was at 25 touchdowns to one interception.
27-2. Yep.
27-2, right. Yeah. Like, nobody's ever come close to that as a rookie.
Yeah.
So that's just statistically, that doesn't necessarily sway me a lot. I think it's more the actual functioning and the way he did it that is impressive. That was more of on a higher level. So like even if his stats hadn't stacked up as well, you can see by like if you're just evaluating the process, he's doing things mentally that Gardner Minshew was not doing his rookie year.
Yeah.
His scheme wasn't helping him out the way Nick Foles' scheme was helping him out.
No doubt.
So that part of it, it's above and beyond the stats, and it's different. It's more of a process based thing.
Yeah. Here's one. I'll give you a Davis Mills stat of the day for you here. Mills had three games this season with 125 plus passer rating. The only rookie with more since 1950. Yeah, 1950. The only ones with more than three: Russell Wilson, 5; Ben Roethlisberger, 4; Matt Ryan, 4. What I would point out about that, Seth, is that those three teams, Wilson Seahawks, Roethlisberger Steelers, and Matt Ryan's Falcons, all playoff teams. You know, yeah. So they actually were doing these things on teams where there was a good surrounding cast.
Which is also right, I guess, so it makes it easier for them, I suppose. I mean, the one caller we had the other day said that a lot of Davis Mills' production was in garbage time. That's not true for the last five games that he started. It's certainly true in some other, like some of the games from earlier in the season. But I think that his most impressive performance he had in the first go around as a starter was the Patriots, and that certainly wasn't garbage time. And then in the second second stretch of five games, those were largely competitive games, two victories, and a whole lot of actual competitive football. The Titans game, I suppose you could say, well, it wasn't garbage time, but the Titans got comfy with a lead, perhaps. Except that they came in and it was a competitive game. It ended up being the game was in contention. So very little of it was in actual garbage time.
I think the only one that was the only stats that Mills put up that you could say were garbage time stats was the fourth quarter of the Rams game.
Yeah.
When he was – that was the last start that he had before Tyrod Taylor came back. They were down 38-0 early in the third quarter. The Rams put all their backups in, and the Texans end up covering the spread in that game.
You know who rode that wave forever was Bortles. Remember all
yes!
Remember his...
It was a fantasy machine.
It was. Yeah, it was. It was almost... you would hope that the Jaguars were awful if you had Blake Bortles as your quarterback, because he was just a master at playing. That'd be an interesting one to go back and analyze. I'm guessing he was really good against soft coverages in a way that, like, that might sound like, well, yeah, isn't everybody? Yeah, but, like, maybe he was that good. Like, there was just, but that as soon as things got a little tighter, he just fell off a cliff, you know?
He had
enough raw skill in one certain aspect that he could be better than anybody else has ever been in garbage time.
The season you're talking about was 2015.
Yeah.
The Jags went 5-11. Blake Bortles completed 58% of his passes, led the league in interceptions with 18, but
what? Led the league in
35 touchdown passes.
Oh my gosh. Wow. It was like a
35. That would have blown away the record for the Texans.
But that's, you know, the incredible thing about that is, if you look at that other, like, the alarming stat was Jameis Winston, when he became the first quarterback in history with 35 touchdown passes and 35 interceptions in the same year. The thing was, his touchdown passes, a lot of them were pretty impressive. Whereas Blake Bortles, it wasn't like that at all. It was, at least as far as I remember.
Yeah, yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Darren Revelle is going to join us in the next segment. College athletics getting on the gambling train. We got to talk about that. Are we in the midst of a gambling sponsorship bubble? There's a lot of money being thrown around. We'll get his thoughts on Super Wild Card Weekend as well. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Darren Revelle next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Thursday. Go to the Flying Fish Restaurant hotline right now. Action Network. Download that Action Network app. It's free. You need it for this weekend. We got Super Wild Card Weekend coming up. We got six NFL games coming up this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. Darren Revelle of the Action Network joining us to talk about that and more right now. Darren, it's great to talk to you. How are you feeling?
We're good. I mean, it's a month already, so I'm trying to say I'm back. I'm not really back. Like, it's not the same, but like I have to lay down after every once in a while. But I think I'll be able to drive legally. I've been illegally driving around the neighborhood like a couple blocks where I'm telling my daughter, I'm like, can you look left and right for me? I can't. She goes, it's good, Dad. Okay. And then I turn left, like just not going on any major streets.
But, okay. Like a 16-year-old that has their driver's permit, not their license yet. And you're just kind of sneaking out around the neighborhood. I got
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
I used to go pick up
Flying Fish a sushi restaurant or no?
No, it's like Cajun seafood. Oh, okay. Like a lot of fried food, Darren. I don't know if you're into that. It's delicious.
Whatever the opposite of sushi is.
I'm also down a gallbladder, so I try to not do too much fried food, but if it's good, I'll do it.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's worth it. I would say it's worth jeopardizing your health for sure. Flying Fish Restaurant. Absolutely. Hey, Darren, I just saw on your Twitter timeline, the walls are just crumbling when it comes to gambling sponsorships. Like, college sports before was like, no, gambling is the devil, no. Michigan State just signs a deal with Caesars.
And I think it's the first one because PointsBet did Colorado. I'm not sure if you could gamble on the college teams, but it might be the first state where you can gamble on. Like even in New Jersey, which by the way, tomorrow is likely to announce that they have done $10 billion in sports betting handle for 2021, which is crazy because in 2018, they said at maturity, we could see at maturity, which I guess would be like, I don't know, 5 years out, we could see New Jersey doing up to $8 billion. And people are like, come on, that's a stupid number. And now it's going to do like 10.2 or 10.2 billion. So but in New Jersey, that's without us. We can't bet on our college teams, which is not too much of it. I mean, Rutgers, you can't bet on Rutgers. That Rutgers is a good, might not be a big time program, but it's a good team to bet for or against. And we can't bet on anything that any college game that happens within the state. So all the like pre-season tournaments or stuff like that can't bet on that. It's interesting. They're all going to cross the line. There's going to be conferences that sign gambling deals. Learfield just announced, they buy deals from athletic departments and, then farm out the media. Learfield just announced that they started a company that is like a bet integrity company, they better train the athletes even more because especially, when you see Caesars signs all around, Michigan State, which is kind of cool. You'll have the Spartan and Caesar similar helmets. In terms of the mascot, maybe they'll even sell out and give the mascot a toga, something like that. Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's going to be nuts.
And I guess the logical next question for that, comes with when it comes to that kind of revenue brought in gambling, how much actual tax revenue does that end up bringing in? Because I know it was like $10 million a month in New Jersey back in 2021. So I'm guessing that's a lot more now. They anticipate at some point like $1 billion in tax revenue from
gambling. It was originally disappointing in New Jersey, They set up tax numbers that, and it depends on how they're taxed. In Pennsylvania, it's like a 30% tax. In New York, it's a 51% tax on sportsbooks gross revenue. So...
That's why they're losing all their professional gamblers to Florida and Texas.
That's right.
Texas.
And even though that's that, it's not like Tennessee where, Tennessee, don't ever bet in Tennessee, legally bet, because the state has stipulated that the sports books need to have a 10% hold percentage, which essentially means like a 10% profit. And most hold percentages are around 3.5% to 4%. So they juice the lines, especially on parlays. They give you much worse odds than actual true odds, just so that they can make sure. Like legally, they have to have a 10% hold percentage. Otherwise, they lose their license.
Do they not have a bordering state that people can drive to and place their bets, like in Kentucky or something like that?
I'm thinking around. No, not Kentucky. No, they don't.
Yeah, there you go. Captive audience.
What else is Tennessee bordered by? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. Not a lot.
Yeah, we don't either. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for our job.
That's basically Lithuania and Albania. That's how, that's how backwards that stupid-ass state is.
Yeah, don't get Seth started.
You know what they're not bordered by? Dental clinics.
Right. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, hey, is this show not on the internet?
No, welcome to the show, Darren.
Okay.
Seth,
right.
Seth said
hey,
those
hey,
things
hey,
on
talking,
Sunday.
You're talking to the guy. I don't care either. Although,
Darren,
I was – yeah.
Well, I was going to say, it doesn't matter whether we're on the internet. The question is, does anybody in Tennessee have internet? The answer is very, very few, very few.
Yeah, exactly. So Darren Revell, Action Network, joining us on the show. And you may have answered the question, Darren, by saying that, hey, New Jersey was expecting $8 billion by now, and now it's $10 billion that they're generating revenue from gambling. But, man, the money being thrown around on sponsorships – I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you know, you work for the Action Network. Like, the money flying around right now is just bananas. Are we?
It's sponsorships, but it's also like the bonuses, right? Like, so season. So the rule was, so New York went public on Saturday. They went live. Four books went live. Four of the nine licensed books. And I was doing a story on all their promos, and each of the books was like, we got an embargo on this. We don't want anyone to know our other promos. And so I know all the promos, and I'm like, wow, like everyone thinks they have good promos. And then Caesars is offering a $3,000 deposit match.
That's bananas.
And it's like, holy crap. Like that's crazy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Are they ever going to make the money back? And one of the reasons why DraftKings stock is down and Penn stock is down, DraftKings stock, because, hey, you know, they're still not profitable. And how long are you going to play this game? And is there an end game where you are profitable?
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, so that's one. And Penn, you know, I think with Barstool, they don't spend as much money on advertising, but they have the Barstool clientele, which, you know, has $20 in their pocket and that's it. So they run out. So, you know, there's. So that, you know, that's the issue. But yeah, there's so much money going around, and as you become legal, your state becomes legal. I mean, we're back to like, remember 2016 with daily fantasy ads in NFL broadcast. It was like there was more daily fantasy ads than game time.
Okay, yeah. So speaking of profitable. This is one that I should have done more reading on, but I know that you do all this, so that's why that's pretty much
right. why we have you on,
so I don't have to read.
I do your job, right?
Yes,
exactly.
So, The Athletic started out as a subscription-based sports news website. I subscribe to it. Sean subscribes to it. I think it's awesome. They had grand designs on taking down the sports publishing industry. They just sold. They sold to the New York Times for $500 million. They have not made a profit yet. Is it, what's going to happen to The Athletic? Is it going to kind of continue with the same model now that they're with the New York Times, or is it, or did the experiment fail?
Well, I think the idea of having three beat reporters for one team probably will be, I think those guys will be pared down, unfortunately. Yeah. In some cases, it seemed like they just had, you know, they were over covering things or had too many employees. So I think there's going to be some paring down. And then the question is, you know, the New York Times said they bought it because they're beefing up their newsletter business. They're beefing up. I mean, they essentially bought it as a data play. You know, the problem is that if you break down what they paid per your email or your name, they paid about $430 per person.
For me?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So, you know, so does that ever bear out? And, you know, the question is always, do people subscribe or to continue to subscribe after it goes from $1 a month to $20 a year? And,
right.
You know, how much do they trick you on that auto subscribe that you don't realize until it's too late? You know, I try to lose my credit card once every 2 years.
yes.
Just, yeah. Oh, no, just, no, no. Just, and I'll tell you. So that, yeah, the New York Times is dirty about that. Like, I've had, because I've subscribed because I want to read specific articles. Yeah. And this, it's not that I forget. It's like the process, I spent two full hours deactivating my subscription to the New York Times.
They are
it was
dirty
like,
pool.
It was, yeah,
you
yeah.
You got to take a vacation day to cancel your New York Times.
You want to unsubscribe? Okay, please send us. It can only be a fax. written in hand.
Right. Yeah, basically.
And then, right, exactly. And you
must,
actually be letter written with a quill, and you have to hand deliver it to our front offices.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It was like trying to figure out my username. It was like I was solving a riddle in a movie or something. Like it was a scavenger hunt. It was crazy.
Yeah. So I guess, Darren.
Yes. So that's the thing, right? So, you know, but I try to lose my credit card every 2 years because, you know, then there's like I realized that I've been paying $2.99 a month for 8 billion storages in iCloud or whatever. And then all of a sudden, it, you know, then they're like, hey, we can't have your credit card. I'm like, well, you're never getting it again.
You too, huh? you also have like 8 $2.99 charges on your card that you're not sure
eight.
About. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Darren Revell, Action Network. I guess last thing, Darren, just back to the Athletic for a second. I mean, their big selling point was no ads. Like, what are the chances now that it's melded into the New York Times that we're going to have to wade through some advertising to get our articles?
Yeah, I'd say all bets are off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be a thing. Now they'll have an ad that will come out of the computer and punch you.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Great.
It will go from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Do you have a pick for Super Wild Card weekend that you're like a best bet that you're laying down this weekend?
You know what? The funny thing is that I've gotten into the cycle of like, well, everyone has COVID, so I'm going to wait to the last minute, which is stupid because this week almost no lines have changed. You know what? I like Buffalo in Buffalo. I think there's too much of a Bill Belichick factor. I think overall, you know, I feel like there's an argument at least some weeks that Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the league. Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, it's amazing that the Patriots got to the playoffs, but I think they'll easily cover, the Bills will easily cover four.
Games at night too, so the Bills Mafia has all day to get bombed.
Yeah. I'm really upset. I haven't seen, you know, I think they really have not stopped, but they've curtailed their table breaking.
Yeah, they've really cracked down on that. They have to do it like satellite parking lots and stuff.
Yeah, my favorite one was when they had like a mini doll table and they dropped a baby on it.
That's great. That is great.
That sounds way worse than it was. That
was it's so ridiculous. It
they was didn't like drop a baby they... from like, you know, two stories up or anything.
Oh my god. Yeah,
hey, there's that's something to keep an eye on, Darren. Here in Houston we have a Mills Mafia. At least they're trying to be a Mills Mafia.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like whatever the Davis
it's a group
Mills
of
version
seven
is,
people.
Yeah,
they're all related to Davis Mills.
Be careful, man. You might just put yourself in the sights of the Mills Mafia.
That's right.
Just watch out.
That's right. And these aren't a bunch of punks and thugs or anything like that. These are Stanford grads that'll come at you with like.
Yeah,
they'll attack you. You'll wish you lost your credit card when they're done.
Right,
they'll dig into
right.
your tax wow. records. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. All right, that's Darren Revell. The Action Network joins us each and every week. Download that free Action Network app and get on it for Super Wild Card Weekend. Darren,
I gotta go.
Yep,
gotta start betting.
Yep, yeah, go bet, man. Go start gambling. We'll talk to you next week, Darren. Thanks.
Okay, see you.
All right, see you, Darren Revell. All right, joining us on the show as he does each and every Thursday. Yeah, man, a lot of money flying around in that gambling space, boy. I tell you, I do wonder, are we sitting on the cusp of a bubble when it comes to that? But
as far as like a lot of these online casinos and everything paying out huge money
sponsorships.
To various...
I mean, like McAfee just got $120 million.
That's the thing I wonder about, and I'm not saying this is a slight against Pat McAfee whatsoever, because I really think I think he's awesome, and I think he should get a lot of money. Because he's leveraged it to where it's like it's him and his company.
Yeah.
He's not getting paid by a network or anything. But having said that, it has a little bit of a feel of Steve Young's contract in the USFL. Remember, they made a big deal about how he was going to get paid. I think his was like $100 million contract.
Yeah, it was huge.
It was guaranteed by a team that would be bankrupt within 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, it was, they when they said that it was a certain amount, it was like they said, well, yeah, if it earned interest, it's such and such interest over the course of 25 years, then it's worth $100 million. I think some of that money that's being thrown out there right now is not all of it's going to get paid.
Yeah, you know who else that happened with? Rocket Ismail. people forget Rocket Ishmael, who almost won the Heisman at Notre Dame. He went pro, yeah. And he decided to go to the Toronto Argonauts as the first pick in the CFL draft because Bruce McNall, the owner, gave him $16 million over 4 years, which in 1990 was gigantic money. And as it turns out, Bruce McNall was a crook. And Rocket Ishmael wound up with the Raiders and the Cowboys.
It was, you know what it was, Sean? Okay, the Steve Young contract.
$40 million sounds right to me.
$40 million over 43 years. And it was even actually, it was
like Bobby Bonilla.
And it was sketchier than that, though, too. It was like the $40 million even was like kind of a fantastical number that they threw out there.
That's wild to me. Like, I don't know. Like, Steve Young strikes me as smarter than that.
Well, yeah. Well, it was the publicity around it was way more than Steve Young would have wanted. The actual contract, I think, was still more than he would have gotten in the NFL. But it just wasn't the magnificent one that the team was putting out there.
Yeah.
And Steve Young was kind of like this quiet Mormon kid that didn't really want a whole hullabaloo. And it, all of a sudden, he's the million-dollar quarterback.
Yep.
It was crazy.
The LA Express, baby. All right. We are about out of time. Strike the band up, Ben, on the way out. There we go. All right.
Passing thought that I had earlier when we were talking about David Shaw. I wonder, David Shaw's always in whispers about could he be an NFL coach, but he always says he really wants to stay at Stanford. I think Stanford might have an extreme advantage in this age of the NIL and the transfer portal because I think their athletes are probably less likely to
stickier.
Be tempted. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
That's a good
point. And they're all, there's an inherent reason to stay at Stanford beyond just football. And Davis Mills went to Stanford
before
other schools even had a chance to,
Yep.
So I think we might have a renaissance for Stanford.
There we go. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a Stanford-assance to you.
And there it is. All right, we'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. in the loop next. Have a great day, everybody.
Get back to basics, and I'll do opium, all right?
You are full of advice for the kids this morning.
Yeah, good luck scoring some opium.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.